and welcome to the latest episode of Let's Talk About. I guess it's the latest episode if you're not listening from the future. My name, as the host for this afternoon, is Seb. Joining me, as always, is my sleeping beauty, Mr. Elliot.
Oh, thank you so much. And you're definitely my little sewing kit, whatever it's called.
Spinning wheel.
Was it? That's the one. Same thing.
My little sewing kit. You've probably guessed if you haven't read the title. We are reviewing a classic Disney property from 1959, the second highest grossing film that year, behind Ben-Hur. It is Sleeping Beauty. This is a film. It is a film, yeah.
That's good. The detectives were on the case. We worked it out.
Yeah, we can clarify. We had this on VHS. I watched this quite a few times. I quite liked this as a kid. I'm wondering if I've seen it since, but I watched it this morning. What's your history with this film, Elliot?
Okay, well, there is a history there. Some might say it's a complicated history. Others might not. But really, I'm the only one who knows the facts about this. And I can tell you it's actually quite a simple history.
Okay.
And the history is the following. I saw this as a child. I can't remember if I had it on VHS. I probably did. And I could almost remember nothing of it.
Nice.
And then about a decade ago, we started collecting all the Blu-rays.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Disney classics, including this one. And I watched it then. And then I was quite happy probably not to watch it again. And then fast forward until about an hour and a half ago, and I've watched it yet again for you.
Wow, that is quite the history.
I think so.
Yeah, well, that's good. So, kind of similar pages, I guess. Question, have you seen the Maleficent films?
Answer, no.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so neither have I, and I don't want to. But I was wondering if that kind of would add anything to the story for this one. I have played Kingdom Hearts, and all the bad guys from Disney are in that game. And Maleficent's one of them, and she's really cool in that. So we'll talk a bit about her for this film, I guess, at some point. But let's get out of the way then. What did you think of this film?
Well, as you've already established, Seb, this is indeed a film. Now, when you want to know my thoughts on what I think of it, I think it's the following. It's when I found out I was watching it, and I knew obviously it was coming up, I was left with sighs of exasperation, if that's a word. Who knows?
Oh, damn.
I'm going with it. Yeah, I know. Because I think I've said it before. The proper Princess Disney movies were never really for me. Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Fox and the Hound, all those type of movies. And see, obviously there's a joke and no one laughed about that. That's a shame. But anyway, the three princesses.
It took me a second to realise what you said.
That's okay. Those three, they've got that Disney charm. But, you know, I never grew up wanting to be a princess. So I never quite related to these movies.
Oh, in any way, okay. Form. I see.
Yeah. I think that's the only link you need to have, really. But I went into this movie thinking, well, you know what? How many times have me and you been in a situation where we've seen a movie from the past? Because obviously it can't be from the future. And made myself laugh. And we've gone thinking, oh, I'm not going to like this. But then what happens? We enjoy it. It happened with me with Pocahontas. So the big question is, has that happened with this one?
Oh, the suspense is
kind
me.
Of. I know.
Oh, kind
it's
of. Right.
It's all right. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I couldn't really remember much of it. What I could remember, without giving spoilers away, was singing in the forest.
Yep.
And a dragon.
Yes.
That's about as far as my memory went. Singing in the Forest and Dragon. And yeah, it was a lot... it was very different to what I remembered it being. So it was kind of, in a way, like watching a new film.
Yeah.
It was very old.
That's interesting, because that's kind of happened with a few of these films for me, where maybe I have seen it, but like with Basil, for example, I know I'd seen it, but I couldn't remember much of the story at all, so it was like a new experience. A few moments ago when you said you and I have both seen films, there was a pause, and I was like, I really hope that's not the point he's made, that we both have seen films. So that's why I probably didn't react as quickly. We should probably, you know, if anyone hasn't seen this film, at least talk a bit about what it actually is. So this is one of the quintessential kind of fairy tale stories. We have a kingdom where the king and queen have a daughter. Some fairies come to give some gifts, but there's an evil fairy, Maleficent, who wasn't invited. And rather than, you know, just being really passive aggressive and posting things on Facebook about snakes, she decides to curse the child. And this is all like the start of the film, it's basically the plot, that if she pricks a finger on a spinning wheel before her 16th birthday, she'll die. So that kind of sets in motion the story. The baby's also betrothed to Prince Philip, not the Prince Philip who was married to Elizabeth, because he's a completely different person. So that's the story. Mm. And an hour and a quarter runtime, which is always nice. Interestingly, though, I really felt the runtime this time, though. It was like, there's so many things I hadn't remembered from the story. It was like, oh, I know this is quite a short film, but it still feels quite full. I don't know if you felt that as well.
You know what? I did indeed. Mm. I remember thinking at one point, I was like, I know what's supposed to happen, but I feel like it should have happened half an hour ago.
Yeah.
In the actual film. We're like at a 45-minute point, and I'm saying, you know, this main plot point, I'm sure before it happened right at the start. Why has it not happened yet? It seemed to just be like a lot of building up, and then just like, wham, bam, 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 and then 10 minutes later, the film was finished.
Yeah, which is quite a contrast to the other ones where we've gone in and it's like only 90 minutes and it's quite a breeze. I think there were some similarities of this one and The Black Cauldron in some interesting ways. The interesting thing that I've just looked up on IMDb is this was the last fairy tale produced by the studio until a certain property. When do you think was the next fairy tale after Sleeping Beauty?
Mulan.
No. Good guess, though. It was The Little Mermaid in 1989. So
30 years later.
Yeah, so we'd had like the classic, what, Cinderella, Snow White, all those kind of ones. I know little bits about the original kind of story for this one. I don't really want to read that much, but, you know, it's our favourite segment of, was it based on the book? Did you do any research on the book?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. We're bringing this section a little bit earlier than I anticipated, but we can bring it in because I'm going to avoid spoilers really easily.
Cool.
So, was it based on the book? Well, it was indeed. There was an original fairy tale written in the 1600s by a man whose name I can't remember. And then there was loads of other adaptions created over the next few hundred years by different people. There was one very famous one by a man whose name I can't remember. And we all did slightly different things. But the main moral of this story is, as always, these Disney movies that are based on a book, the books were not made for children.
No.
They were very adult. Not in the way that we might perhaps view adult today, but in the sense where they're very dark. I think there was somewhere Sleeping Beauty may have been younger than what she is now. Mm. There are other ones where there was a lot more death, a lot more heartache. I think there's another one where they go through right into the future when Aurora's married and into her kids and things like that. Oh. So there's lots of different ones. But obviously Sleeping Beauty, the Disney version, made it very clean and kind in a way for children's ears and eyes.
Oh, well, thank you for that segment. It's interesting that's you mentioned that about the kindness and stuff, because I thought the setup was interesting, because they really emphasise, like, good King Stefan and his queen, and, like, the good fairies. And I really like the conversation with King Stefan and, is it King Hubert, I think, where they're basically like mates, which is quite nice, and they actually want to unite the kingdoms and things like that. And they have a little bit of an argument, then they they start laughing again because he's. I remember he uses the fish as a sword while the musicians is getting drunk under the table. And all the stuff of the fairies is quite fun. They're quite, you know, they're quite silly, quite funny. They've got their own personality, but they're not like so dramatic that you'd see in other films, which was quite refreshing to see. In terms of stuff we liked about this film, what did you think of the art style?
Again, like all these Disney movies, because we're jumping around here, there and everywhere, it took me a little bit of a while to get used to. I think we've watched... I was going to say more modern movies, but obviously we watched Basil quite recently and The Black Cauldron. Mm. But you can tell this was still, you know, a decade or two back from both of those. There's a lot of, I can't remember the exact word, but like that picture on picture thing, but we have like the background.
Yes.
And they put the other picture on top, they change the camera angles to like get a different thing. You can see all that happening. And you can see them reusing a lot of the same bits as well as they're going through.
Yeah.
But it's very, I think, well, it's very homely, the whole thing. You know, the art style, having the narrator, like they did in like a lot of these old style things. It's that, no matter what you think of this movie, it has a lot of that Disney charm. And the animation is definitely a big part of that.
Yeah, I agree. The animation is very sharp. There's those, as you said, like the layered bits at the start is like, oh, this is a bit cheap. But all the main characters, they're really quite human, I think, with the animation of the faces and stuff. And you get like the background characters that are clearly cartoons. But everyone else is like a real actual character, especially Maleficent, which I want to talk about in a little bit. But otherwise, I thought the art style was very cool, like particularly like the forest and like the castle, all that kind of stuff. The artwork is really cool. The voice acting, you know, again, it's always been quite good. I think especially with the fairies and Maleficent, I thought the voice acting was really, really quite good. Very kind of iconic voice, especially for the villain. What do you think of the music for this one?
It's very early Disney's, the whole thing. I think early Disney's has always got the classic big hitters, you know, Can You Wish Upon a Star, a lot of the stuff from Snow White as well, you know, Little April Showers, all these types of things. And this one's definitely got its heavy hitter. You know, it's got Once Upon a Dream.
Yep.
One of the staples of Disney music. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I've always struggled with the older ones, obviously it's a different generation, isn't it? Is the singing.
Yes.
It's very kind of like operatic and...
And they have the choirs type of thing and going stuff, on. Don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Which, don't get me wrong, is sort of like very, it's very impressive. A lot of the films those days, you know, the skill that went into it, you don't get that as much, you know, later on. Now you think of like your favourite film, Seven Brothers for Seven Brides. Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Something like that.
And, you know, these are all actors, but you know, they all sing and there's no auto tune and they all dance while they're doing it. It's all live.
Bless your beautiful hide.
Exactly. And you know, the singers here, you know, are incredible, but because it's so different to the music we listen to now, it's a little bit hard to get into. But so yeah, it's the music again is charming. The singing is for me personally sometimes a little off-putting, but that's just a me thing, not necessarily a bad thing. And obviously Once Upon a Dream is a complete and utter Disney staple. Mm. And, you know, it deserves to be where it is.
Yeah, I think I agree. It gives you said about like the kind of homely kind of, you know, comfort kind of film. It definitely gives that vibe. We had that with like, you know, Pinocchio and some of the other ones with a lot of that singing. It was like when the fairies are like giving the gifts to the baby and it's like, and then they sing about each one after, and it's like, oh, okay, come on. Can we just get on the plot, please? But I do like Once Upon a Dream. I've always liked that one, even as a kid, which is really weird. I thought, you know, I never liked any of that silly singing nonsense, but I always liked that song. It's very catchy. But yeah, is there anything else you want to talk about before we dive into spoilers?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't really know how much there is left to spoil, but I suppose a little bit. I think there's a lot of similarities here between this and Snow White.
Okay.
It's and I think I can go through some of this not in spoilers, and this might be the segue, is I'll do half of a non-spoilery bit now, and then we'll go into the spoilery bit, and I'll continue it. But for example, there's a big thing here of the princess's animals are drawn to her, especially when she sings operatically. Outcome for her, the bad thing that happens, is very similar to the bad thing that happens in Snow White.
Yeah, that's true.
How they get out of that outcome is very similar to what happens to Snow White. The royal heritage of the characters involved are very similar to Snow White.
Yep.
Both princesses have sidekicks that are of numbers. One is 7, one is 3.
Okay.
You know, it's...
It's basically the same film, yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's a moneymaker, isn't it? I suppose it's taking these fairy tales and it's bringing them to it. And to be honest, I probably didn't. I think without spoiling anything, I think I actually went through everything with my crazy way of explaining it. You're welcome. So yeah, that's like my only thing.
Yeah, I think you've hit everything on the head there. So I wonder if the original stories were as similar as like these movies have kind of made them out to be, because they say about like there's what, only 12 actual stories and everything's just a kind of, you know, different version of that. And interestingly, when I was looking through a lot of the information for this film, I think there were a lot of comparisons made between this and Snow White. And like, I think at one point Walt Disney said he wanted it to be different. So he like really wants to put the effort in. Now, I think, yeah, the only other stuff I want to talk about would actually be in spoilers, I think, based on what we've said about the similarities and the differences. So I'm ready to give my thumb up for this film. I don't know what your thumbs are doing.
So I'm going to go off tangent, but it's going to come swinging back.
Okay.
So this movie, even though I enjoyed it more this time, I have zero plans to watch it again in the near future, and possibly a few years even after that. It would only be if I was doing a run like what we're doing,
yeah,
where I'd watch it. But if you haven't seen it, I would view... what I do a lot is I like looking at what's known as like the best books of all time, the greatest movies of all time, the greatest CDs of all time, or albums even, I should say, TV shows. And I love seeing them. Whether I end up liking them or not, I want to know, because I want to know what does the world view as amazing, and let's see if I agree, and let's pinpoint it out. And there are, I was talking to my wife earlier about the Beach Boys are doing a gig in London, not London, I think it's in Reading.
Really?
Next year. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Because it's four that were still on like the album Pet Sounds. So four of them are still going. They're like 82 years old. And Pet Sounds is known as like one of the greatest albums of all time. It's one of the most influential. And it's got some good songs in it. And I always try really hard because I always want to listen to it. But I always get like 3 or 4 songs in and I've had enough.
Yeah.
And there's a few things like that. And eventually with other ones that I've had it, I will eventually get through to the end. And sometimes it's one of those ones, the more you watch it, the better it gets. But what's the point of this love story?
That's a great question.
Well, I'm going to tell you. The point is the following, is if you haven't seen the movie, even if you feel like you're not interested in it, this is a Disney staple.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of movies that come under the term Disney classics just because of a studio where they came from. But this is a Disney classic, not because of a studio, but because of what it's done for Disney and animation as a whole. So if you haven't seen this movie, no matter what you think you might think of it, go watch it. And then if you hate it, you've still seen it. You've been a part of it. Well done.
Thank you. That You're was welcome. Cool. I'm on the edge of my seat here with the words that I'm hearing.
I have that effect.
What more is there to say? Yeah, I think if you like Shrek, you need to see this film, because Fiona is basically Sleeping Beauty, with, you know, a slight tweak to the story and the fact she's an ogre as well. It's so influential in those respects. It's definitely worth looking at. I think you're right about like with the Beach Boys, because I really like 50s music, and like sometimes I'm in the mood and I'll put some on in the car, and because I like singing along to them. But after like four or five songs, you go, okay, I get it, and they're all quite similar, and you have to listen to something else. But as I kept saying to my wife when we watched this one, I think at the time, in the 50s, when you're watching this crazy animation of all the sparkles and the fire and the dragon, all this cool stuff, that probably would have been mind-blowing, I think, at the time. But it's hard to then do it now when we've seen, you know, Captain America throwing Mjolnir and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's very quaint in comparison. But I think we can dive into spoilers.
Okay, so if you haven't seen the movie and you want to watch it, well, go now and watch it. And
yeah.
If you, yeah, or stay here and listen to us now talk about this in depth. I have got two notes here, and okay, I want to see if you can tell me why I've written them, because I feel like if someone else just looked at my notes, they'd be so confused. But it's Owl Go Who, Owl Got Game.
Yes. Okay. I like. Yep. I agree.
Do you? So, to clarify that, there's a great bit where they unlike in Snow White when they had talking animals. I don't think they did actually. But in Sleeping Beauty, none of the animals talk. So how they got past this, just to create a conversation, is Aurora would say certain things like, you know, oh, I fell in love with a man. And then the owl would just go, whoo.
So good.
And then it happened again a few minutes later. And that is artistic brilliance. And then the owl got game was because all the animals dressed the owl up as a prince. And then the owl, dressed as a prince, started romantically dancing with the 15-year-old Aurora. So, yeah, you know, Owl Got Game. And that was one of the highlights for me.
Well, yeah, I think the film was just downhill from that point, wasn't it? I think we also, the bunnies were really good wingmen, I think. So that whole scene was nice, but I really like how cute all the little like woodland creatures are, all the little squirrels and the rabbits and all the little things. And I love the bunnies that are bouncing in the shoes. It's just something about it. And my wife said something interesting, that back then all the animal characters were cute, whereas now they're like, they're silly or something. Like you think about the pig or the chicken in Moana or Wish or whatever it is. There's always something like quirky about them. Whereas back then they were just all cute. And like, again, like the horse doesn't talk to the prince, but he clearly understands him because he talks about carrots and stuff. And he was giving Maximus vibes, I think. His name was Samson, which is a cool name for a horse. But I think that was a clear inspiration, at least for that character.
I think I had a big issue with this movie, that it was a lot of the time very frustrating. Do you ever like see those videos where they say, you know, oh, this film, but if so-and-so had done this, and it's like one conversation and then it goes to the end credits. Now, obviously, I know why they don't do this. I'm aware that everything I'm about to say, if the answer is, oh, but then if they did all that,
there wouldn't be
a movie. But in my mind,
that's not
you
an
know,
answer.
Movies, no, because movies should be about something that makes sense. It's like, so the whole plot point, as you've already said, is that, you know, they're trying to keep Aurora away from the sewing kit, the spinning wheel.
Yes.
Before she's 16, because if she touches it, then she's going to fall into what could be an everlasting sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they take her away and they hide her for 15, well, actually the whole 16 years, apart from the day before her 16th birthday. Anyway, then they send her out and they're absolutely fine. And they go, oh, it's for free fairies. We shouldn't use magic because we've not done it at all the last 16 years.
Yeah.
And they decide, well, you know what? On the last day, why not? Let's just do it. Not let's just hang on an extra one day.
I know.
We've waited this long. And then you've got the other thing with, oh, well, now she's really upset as well because of her... she's fallen in love with someone, and she can only fall in love with the guy she's betrothed with, even though we haven't realised it's the exact same person. But yeah, maybe if they actually had a conversation, they might actually be able to work this out. If they have that.
Well, does she know that the guy's a prince when she's dancing in the forest?
No.
So I'll give the film credit there, where because I was thinking this through of like, would they be able to figure out that they're the same people? And I think you're just going off the fact that it's a guy you met in a forest. Because even when King Hubert's saying about, oh, he's fallen in love with some peasant girl, we obviously know it's the same person, but there's no reason why the characters would think that, except for when he's falling asleep and says, I think does he say something like peasant girl cottage? I don't know what he says, but it makes her think about it. But I agree with the magic stuff. It's like they seal up every hole and they don't think about the chimney. And then it's like, if you just didn't shoot each other with your magic, none of this would have happened. What were you thinking? Yeah.
And also, I can understand all the celebrations and things. Like, they brought her back into the royal city before she turned 16.
Yeah.
Like, again, why not just wait that one extra day? I know, it's her birthday and you have this big celebration. No. Wait the extra day. And if you are going to go back, how about instead of leaving her alone, you just stay with her?
Yeah, I think I missed that bit. Why did they leave her alone? Because she was sad.
I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
You'd have like a SWAT team on her at all times, wouldn't you? You just have guards. So
I found it very frustrating. And it just seemed like it got to a bit where, like, it's when she was crying in that scene. I'm like, it's at the 45-minute mark. I'm like, I thought that when she went out to go get the berries, I thought that's when she gets captured. But it's this whole thing, all this setting up. And then it's just like, oh, she gets pricked. She's asleep. And then 10 minutes later, it's the end of the film. It's like, oh.
Yeah, cool. I remembered that it was Maleficent kind of hypnotising her and they're walking down. And because she was walking downstairs, I was like, oh, yeah, so it couldn't have been in the forest like in Snow White. It had to be like at the castle. So I was like, oh yes, they have to get over there somehow, and then all this other stuff has to happen. So I don't know. And there were some interesting decisions, like when because I didn't realise that the prince was going to meet up with Aurora at the cottage and then he gets captured, and I thought, why don't you just kill him? Because then he can't break the spell or anything. And I thought, that's a massive oversight. And then I realised it's because Maleficent's so kind of sadistic that she actually wants to kind of torture him and make him feel bad. Which makes you go, the fact that you weren't invited to this one thing makes you want to ruin everyone else's life. I mean, come on, mate.
Been there. But, yeah. But, like, I remember, like, so my wife said to me before, I said, I don't understand why no one can have Aurora as their favourite princess. And I was like, why? Because she knew the film a lot better than me. It's just like, because you don't know anything about her. She, like, barely speaks in the movie. And it's, like, one of the bits of trivia you've probably seen is that she only has 18 lines of dialogue in the film.
Yeah, it's less than Dumbo or something, isn't it?
I know, which is, second only to Dumbo. And it's, like, apparently her first line isn't spoken until 19 minutes into the film. And her last line is delivered 39 minutes into the film. So she only has a 20-minute window. And apparently the very last sound we hear of her is when she arrives at the castle and is crying about never seeing her true love again.
Yeah, this is very, I think, symptomatic of all these films where the princesses are barely characters. They're kind of like more ideals than anything. And I've heard a few stories of like the Brothers Grimm, like the kind of stories they collated. And it's like some of the characters are really weird, and usually it's like some princess who doesn't have any agency in the story. It's always like the father or the prince or the evil witch that's doing something. The interesting thing, though, because we're in spoilers, I did want to talk about is that one of the big differences of this one and Snow White is one of the trivia pieces here. This is the first Disney animated film where the prince takes an active role in defeating the main villain. Because without spoiling Snow White and Cinderella, the prince did nothing in either film, which is quite interesting. Whereas in this one, he's really on it. He gets cool. captured, and then it's not just the case of the fairies like break him out. He still has to kind of work out there, and then he basically defeats the witch with the help from the fairies. But it's actually quite cool with an actual active guy who's doing something, as opposed to like Cinderella, he just shows up and puts a shoe on and then he saves the day. It's like, come on. Get you a guy like Prince Philip.
Yeah. In all seriousness, in my opinion, the highlight of this movie is the scene when he gets set free, well, broken free, I suppose, from Maleficent's kind of like chains.
Yes.
And it's just him and the three fairies, like, running away. And, like, you know, the fairies are really cool with what they're doing. But at the same time, Prince Philip is so manly and, like, cool. And then they have the big fight. And, oh, really cool stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool, because it wasn't just him being, like, the ultimate character that can do anything. Because they throw rocks at him, and then the fairies turn it into bubbles. Then they're firing arrows, and then they turn it into, like, flowers.
Flowers.
They pour, like, boiling water or something, and then they turn it into, like, a rainbow. And I love stuff like that, where they do creative things with the fairies. And they give him, like, a fireproof shield and a really cool sword. But then he still has to beat up all the evil guys, which is cool. Which I guess takes us towards the ending of the film, which is the bit that I remembered as a kid, because it has a dragon and it's awesome. And I like that with all the, like, the thorns and all that kind of stuff. What a cool finale, I think, for... Because what was it last week we said about with Basil? Again, that was quite a cool kind of ending fight thing. It was nice to having another one for a change.
Yeah, really good. So have you got any more thoughts before I start concluding this up?
Yeah, so the only thing I did want to talk about is our main villain. We've kind of skirted around the topic, but what did you think of Maleficent?
Maleficent is... the villain,
yeah.
I think when it comes to Disney, you've got, how often do you get just a villain who's both really cool, scary, and just evil for the sake of being evil?
Yeah,
and powerful as well. You don't get that a lot nowadays. I mean, for example, we think of previous movies, like, you know, Moana's now got a sequel. Well, what was Moana's villain in the second one? Oh, it was this really nice island that just got a bit angry because their heart was gone. And as soon as it's back, it's now giving them flowers. Yeah.
Encanto didn't even have
Frozen 2, you've not seen. Encanto, we were the villain, I think, is the story I've got.
Wasn't it generational trauma or something?
Yeah. It's just for grandma, really.
Yeah.
Just misunderstood. So, but this is like what we, like, it was like, you know, with Marvel, we had so many villains that were like, oh, they're misunderstood, and you start siding with them, and then they just bring out No Way Home and you just see the Green Goblin and you're just like,
yeah,
right, no, this is a bit like, this is the coolest villain we've had in so long.
Yes,
you know, better than Thanos, because even though he was cool and he's a big part of the MCU,
yeah,
you know, again, he making it out like, oh, but he's got his reasons, and people are like, oh, well, to be fair, I suppose it does kind of make sense. So yeah, Maleficent is a great villain because she's scary, she's cool, and she's just evil for being evil. She's just a villain.
Yeah, we've been missing that for a long time. I think we get it with, like, Hades almost, and Scar. Mm. I feel like sometimes you maybe think that, oh, you know, I've been downtrodden a bit, which is why I'm like this. And you get all these other fake hit villains and stuff. But yeah, this one, to pure evil, the voice is so cool, very iconic, fits it perfectly, and a little evil laugh. I love the kind of visual style as well, with all the kind of green fire, which is then replicated with a lot of the key kind of villains. I love her little crow raven sidekick, which is quite fun. Because they were saying that with a lot of the characters on here, that there's a lot of contrast between, like, the character and, like, the backgrounds, whereas she's always, like, very kind of in tune with her background, and they spent a lot of time animating her, and it's very crisp, and, like, you see her in, like, the Kingdom Hearts games and other stuff, and it's like, what a cool iconic design. And she just turns into a dragon because she's awesome. It's really cool, and it's good that she's not just, you know, a laughing stock like you get in other films. She actually does almost win, and it takes a lot of teamwork to actually beat her. Really cool. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that John Wick was based off her goes to show how inspirational she is. Because obviously John Wick went full auto when his dog got killed. She went full crazy when her crow was killed.
Yes, he was petrified. She got angry. That's true.
Yeah, sad times. But of course, here comes the biggest question of them all. Are you ready for this?
Oh.
Okay. blue dress or pink dress?
Oh, great, great question. I think I was leaning blue because it contrasted with her gold hair. But my wife said it's a bit too Cinderella, so maybe you wouldn't like that. Mm. I do like the one piece of trivia on that. I don't know if you've read it as well.
Mm.
The running gag of Flora and Meriwether arguing about whether Aurora's dress should be pink or blue originated from the filmmaker's problem as to deciding just that, which is really fun. Where do you stand on the issue?
Well, this is one of the parts where I forgot that it was changed between blue and pink. I've always seen her as pink. I think on the covers of things, she's in pink. And again, for a similar reason to your wife, is that blue is Cinderella. Sleeping Beauty is pink. I'm pretty sure if you were to go to Disneyland and see the characters kind of like walking around, the actresses, I'm sure she'd be in pink because otherwise people would get confused. Oh,
that's interesting, yeah.
Snow White? Is she sleeping? Other than the hair colour, I suppose. I know that might be a big part of it as well. But
Cinderella has
Snow White. Cinderella,
hair.
Cinderella.
But she's got blonde as well.
Yeah, that's what
she?
I meant to say. I don't know why I'm thinking Snow White. Ignore that entire bit. I'm going to start that again.
Right. We'll redo the podcast.
Because like... Okay, the whole thing. Anyway, starting now. Yeah, because I think when they go to a Disneyland, they have to swap it, blah, 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 because Cinderella has a blue dress and she's got the same colour hair. So how would you know the difference? Oh, yeah.
Great question.
Yeah. And sometimes Snow White is there, but she's in a completely different style of clothing, so it doesn't matter.
Well, it would have been interesting to see the green one if she'd have zapped the dress, because I think that could have been
quite goblin.
Cool. But whenever I think...
What? Nothing.
What?
You said the green one. So then, the green goblin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. She could have had like a flying thing. No. Whenever I think of Aurora, I think of her like cottage dress, which I really like. So it's an interesting one. I think, I don't know.
But of course, you want to know your thoughts. You know, what do you think of Sleeping Beauty? You know, do you think it should be a blue dress or a pink dress or a green one? Well, Seb, how can they tell us their thoughts?
Oh, well, if you have a raven just like Diabolo, which is the name of Maleficent's raven despite not named in the film, you could send it that way. Otherwise, we have a few digital options. You can send us an email at letstalkabout2022@hotmail.com. Or you can slide into our DMs at lta.podcast. I'd be interested to know who's seen this one. I think people our age probably would have seen it, but I don't know if anyone younger would have done. But because like in Shrek, you have Snow White, you have Cinderella, but then the third one is just Fiona. So they clearly like made up one of them. So
yeah, and obviously we're gonna definitely have a poll as media manager. Our social media manager, you're clearly going to be up to date and put on a poll as to whether the dress should have been blue or pink or a mixture of both.
Yeah, because we're very big on big social media dress colour memes. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we can ask, you know, do you see blue or pink or do you see gold and white? Right. Anything else before I move on to the closing segment?
I think that was it. The only thing I forgot was that there's a real set at the start and end of this film. There's like a real book.
Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it?
No, because that's what they do in a lot of these, don't they? They have like the actual book there.
They have
it in Snow White as well. I'm sure they have it in a few ones. Snow White, Pinocchio, Jungle Book.
I thought it was like an animated book. That's weird.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. No. I'm not going to sit here and say it definitely happens in all those movies. But I know it definitely... I'm so sure it happens in Jungle Book. And I'm sure it happens in the other ones as well. But we'll soon find out, won't we? When we go to watch them. Right, but always, here's the segment that we can't wait for. Because obviously, we love enjoying these Disney movies. And we want to know, what are we going to watch next? And this is what we're going to watch. I'll say that with anticipation. I don't know. I'm spinning a wheel.
Oh, I love a spinning wheel.
I do. It's going to be a Pixar movie. Oh, wonderful. We watched the sequel earlier this year.
Really?
And today we're going to watch the first one, because this is the only one in the series where you watch the sequel first. Can you figure it out? We went to the cinema to watch the sequel.
We went to the cinema to watch the sequel?
Yeah, not me and you together, though. Separately.
Okay. Can't be Lightyear, because we've seen Toy Story. Oh, it is Pixar. Yeah. What did we see?
Is it not?
Oh, is it Inside Out?
It is Inside Out. Yeah. Oh. It's Pixar, isn't it? I'm not losing my mind. Yeah, it is. Yeah, don't make me go crazy. So we're going to watch Inside Out. And of course, the other movie that's been released to cinemas now is Moana 2. I'll be seeing it in cinema at some point. Whether Seb will, I couldn't tell you. But if he does, I'm sure we'll talk about that very shortly. If not, we'll have to wait it's Disney Plus release.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll tell you. I kind of wanted to leave with just a bit of trivia I've just stumbled across, because I was also wondering this in the film. Viewers never get to find out what gift Meriwether was meant to bestow upon the princess. Wisdom or compassion would have been obvious choices, but according to the Platinum Edition DVD's commentary, her gift was going to be happiness.
Lovely. Right, well, That's been us. You've been you. And as always, I'd like to leave you with some words of wisdom, always supplied by your friend and my co-host, Seb. Seb, what have you got to tell us?
Good gracious, who left the mop running?
Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.